A couple of folks out of town, but praise the Lord. Got to be in church on Sunday, amen? Some of the best church services I have ever been to is when I was traveling and I got a chance to visit some churches. Not always a good church, but do the best you can. I've been in a couple of church services. I was in a church in Oregon one time and I thought to myself, this church reminds me it's important for us to stick by the stuff and keep on doing what's right, because they kind of stopped doing that a little bit. My children were, we were all sitting in a row together. They were younger then, and so all six of us were sitting there together, and the pastor said something that wasn't right at all, and said, I'm sorry to hear. And my children looked at me like, are we going to leave now, Dad? No, we're going to stay, but praise the Lord, we have the truth, the Word of God. I got a verse for you if you want to turn there. Keep your finger in John 16, but turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, right at the very end, well, almost, of that psalm. Psalm 119. 165. 119, 165. You ought to memorize this verse. Many of you, I'm sure, have. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now flip back over to John chapter 16, if you would. Jesus says in verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Now, if you think about putting those two verses together, folks, it's the Word of God that keeps us from falling. Amen? Amen. I've had people ask me sometime, how can I be faithful, or how can I get closer to God? I had a young man ask me that not too long ago, and the first thing you need to do if you want to get closer to God is spend more time in the Word of God. God gave us a pure Bible, praise the Lord, and He gave us the Word of God so that we would not be offended. Now, that word offended is a tricky word. I'll give you some examples. You and I would say, someone offended me. That might mean you were injured or that you took offense. It's not exactly the whole context of that word. Have you ever been maybe running or jogging or walking and you just fell down? Anybody want to admit that? My son has a dog that loves to run. And what you do is you tie the leash around your waist and you get on a bicycle and the dog does all the work. And off we go. And that dog can go a good mile before she stops or we have a wreck. And yes, both my son and I, in fact, he won't let me do that anymore. He said, Dad, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself again. We took off one day, and we had gone just, 20 feet maybe, and I thought the dog was going to go left, and the dog went right, and there I was on the pavement. And that's kind of like that word offended. The word offended means to be caused to stumble or to be caused to fall. Now, let's back up and look at the context here, and in a minute I'll ask you to stand. But before we do, Jesus, in John chapter 15 and 16, He's preparing the disciples for His departure, and it's not going to be just any departure. They don't know what to expect. He's told them a few things, but they don't understand that He's about to be crucified. He's told them, but they just don't understand yet. He's about to be crucified, and then a while later, He is going to ascend into heaven and leave them behind and leave them to do the same work that He left us here to do. Because if you're saved, there's a work to do. And then one day, He's coming back. In fact, I like Acts chapter 1. The angel, the disciples are watching the Lord ascend into heaven, and the angel comes and he says, why stand you here gazing? He's coming back. It's time to go to work. We found out The more you sow, the Bible says, the more you're going to reap. And folks, there are people out there that need to hear the gospel. Not just in our community, but around the world. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. We'll have a word of prayer. And look at this prevention from being offended, as protection from offense. The Bible says in John 16, 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning that we have the word of God that will prevent us, that will protect us from that danger of stumbling, of being offended, of falling, of stopping. God, this morning I pray for each one here. Lord, allow them to see the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage and what he has to say to them, and not what I have to say, but what you have to say. And I pray that you'd bless. God, we know we don't deserve your blessings, but it's only through the shed blood of Christ that we have the privilege of reading your word and understanding it and being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. So thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for bringing us to this place today. I pray for each one here. Bless them in the way that you know they need. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Used to be in the Army National Guard. I was talking to someone about the Army earlier today, and we were at Fort Hood, Texas one time, and there was this big open field. Oh, I'm talking about something that was several miles across, and it just was covered in grass that was about 5 feet high. And as we were training out there, and the year that we were there that I'm thinking of, we were using Jeeps instead of armored personnel carriers. An armored personnel carrier is a big kind of tank-looking thing, but a Jeep, you know what a Jeep is. And we were using Jeeps for practice maneuvering, and we were driving along in this big open field, and all you could see was just waving grass, waving grass, waving grass. And so we're separated, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 yards apart, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden, the front Jeep just disappeared. And we're driving along, and then the second Jeep disappeared. And by then, the guys in the back kind of caught on and started slowing down. And the third Jeep disappeared. We stopped, and there was a ditch that nobody could see because of all that grass. And those poor guys, one of them was hurt pretty bad. He hit had a mounted machine gun in the middle of the Jeep, and he hit his chest on it and had to go to the hospital and so on. But a dangerous thing, traveling along and not knowing where you're going, and all of a sudden coming into a situation like that. It would have been better if we'd have known what was out there. If we'd have seen the obstacle ahead of time, we could have avoided it, couldn't we? Now, put yourself in these fellows' shoes here just for a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ says to them, I'm saying these things to you so that you will not be offended. And without re-explaining it again, offense is what sometimes causes people to stop serving God. You've met someone like that. Yeah, I used to go to a church, and they may not use the word, but they just will go ahead and say, I got offended and I quit. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't desire that. I read you Psalm 119, 165. Don't turn there, but in Jude, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. It is not the Lord's will that we stop. I think sometimes of what it's going to be like to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've ever stood before a judge, one of the most uncomfortable times is that period right before the judge speaks, and you're not quite sure what kind of mood he's in or what he's about to say, and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what he's going to say. I wonder if he's angry with me. I wonder if he's going to have mercy on me. Now, I want to tell you something. The good news is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is our brother in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. He's family. When you stand before him, you're being judged by family. I was in a courtroom one time, and the judge told the people that were suing us, the judge said, I want you to understand something. The church's attorney is the godfather of my child. And you might not want me to be your judge. And the fellow said, no, that's okay. You can be the judge. And we won. And I'm sure he was a fair judge, but might not have been the best choice. But when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're standing before family. Amen? He loved you. He died for you. But that does not give us the right to disappoint him. It doesn't give us a license to quit, to be offended and to stop. And I want to not just limit it to stopping, but sometimes people just slow down or they back off or they stop for a while because something offended them. So in this passage, Jesus, who is with them, knows he's about to leave. In fact, he says to them, if you look with me well, he say, in verse 5, he says, I go my way to him that sent me. Jesus is about to not be with them in the same way. And he knows that once he is gone, they're going to be more vulnerable, perhaps, or more susceptible to being offended or to falling. So I would say to you today, first of all, hey, you're here. Praise God, you haven't quit. Amen? But you know, I've known people that go to church, but they've quit. In Salt Lake City, I was the visitation pastor, and every Sunday morning I'd stand up and I'd talk about how important visitation was, and I got pretty zealous about it to the point to where I wouldn't let anything keep me from going on visitation on Thursday nights. That's when we had visitation up there on Thursday nights. And I was very zealous about that. And sometimes we would ask someone to come out that never had been out before, and they'd come out on visitation. And how many of you have been out on visitation before? Raise your hand. A lot of you. Yeah, amen. And the first time you went, somebody got saved, right? The first time you went, it was just the greatest, everything was perfect, right? No. And it worried me because I would convince someone to come out. Now, Salt Lake City's a big area. In our church, we might go 8 miles that way or 8 miles this way. It'd be kind of like being here in Phoenix and going all the way down to I-17 to visit somebody. We did that all the time. And we'd get in the car and we'd go 5 miles this way and they're not home. And we'd go 5 miles this way and they're not home. And we'd go 5 miles this way and they're not home. We'd come back to the church. We've been out for 2 hours and didn't get to visit anybody. Well, we did. We got to visit each other. That's good fellowship. But anyway, I was always worried, what if they get disappointed and don't come back? What if they get offended? What if they expected something that they didn't get or didn't expect something that they did get? So I need to ask you a question, all of us, this question. Do you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he is or because of what other people do? is your relationship with Christ, all of you, young people, old people. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, praise God, you could get saved today. That's when our relationship with Christ really begins. But if you have been saved and you're walking with Him, I would hope you would agree with me. I serve Him because of who He is, not because of what people do, because I can tell you this. If you serve Him because of what people do, you're not going to last very long. If you serve Him because of what you get, you're not going to last very long. If you serve Him because you love Him, if you serve Him because He lives in your heart and He guides and directs you, then you can keep on going. So look what the Lord says to these fellows. He makes it pretty clear to them that the possibility is there that they could be offended and that they could quit and that might not go anymore. And you know what's interesting? If you read the rest of the Bible, I never hear from some of these fellows again. I have no idea what happened to some of them. Thomas, for example, don't know a thing about him. Tradition tells me some things, but the Bible doesn't. But then there's some people like Peter. Paul, not here at this point in time, but will be. Think about Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Peter, and he says here to him, he says, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put you out of the synagogue. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Let me remind you, first of all, Jesus knows what you're going to go through. He knows that some people are going to, how can I be polite? they're not going to be nice to you. He knows that some people are, this is pretty bad. Somebody says, if I kill them, I'm serving God. That's the way they felt. They were wrong because they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Father. But the Lord knows what we're going to go through. You cannot say that God let you go through too much. Why do you think the book of Job is in the Bible? And if you haven't read the book of Job lately, you ought to do that. Maybe at least the beginning and the end. Some of the middle can be a little bit long. But what happened to Job? Job loved God and he was perfect. In fact, the Bible says he hated evil. He eschewed evil and he did what was right. And so he had a perfect life, right? Nothing ever went wrong. No, everything went wrong. He lost his possessions, he lost his family, he lost his health, and then his so-called friends, who really weren't friends at all, miserable comforters he called them, they came along and accused him. They said, the reason you're suffering is because you're wicked. And he wasn't. But the Bible says Job would not forfeit his integrity. He would not say, I'm guilty, when he wasn't. He did not stumble. He didn't get offended. In the end, God restored him. You've known people that have quit. And I'm sorry, but there's no excuse. The Lord knows what we're going to go through even before we do. Peter, for example, was cast into prison. They couldn't keep him because the church prayed. That's another fun story when he got out of jail and they were surprised their prayer was answered. But Paul and Barnabas, cast into prison, beaten, placed in stocks, sang praises to God at midnight. That jail didn't hold them either, did it? Folks, God's a good God. And he knows what we're going to face, and He can get us through that. And He explains to them quite clearly what's going to happen. He says in verse 4, these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. I just want you to know the Bible doesn't make it a secret. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Had a fellow that went off to be a missionary in a foreign land. And he was a very mature Christian, a good missionary. Did a great work, still doing a great work. But as his pastor, he and I kept in close contact by email. And he wrote me some emails. And he said, you know, I didn't expect it to be this tough. Well, the Lord knows what to expect, and whenever it gets tough, we still walk with Him. Amen? He told them what to expect. He told them what was going to be done to them. Now look at verse 7. He says, sorrow hath filled their hearts in verse 6. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then we've already seen that he said in another place, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. I imagine when the disciples were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, they grew accustomed to having him deal with everything that they couldn't handle. You know the story that when he took the three, Peter, James, and John, up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, left the others behind, that a man came to them and they couldn't cast out this devil. And then when Jesus came back, he did cast out the devil. And he made a comment about not being with them for very long. And they were used to that sort of thing. Now all of a sudden Jesus is going to ascend into heaven and he's not going to be with them in body. He's not going to be with them physically. But folks, he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. You say, Pastor, how can I keep going? Number one, understand this. The Lord knows what you're going to go through. He knew it before it ever happened. And he would not let you be tempted above that which you are able, the Bible says in Corinthians. Secondly, he didn't really leave us. He came to us as a comforter. And he tells them here in verse 7 that very fact. Look at verse 8. When he has come, the Comforter has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then he explains that. Aren't you glad you're saved? You look at the description of the world here, and it certainly is something I don't want to be like. He says of the world, he says, they believe not on me, in verse 9. Now, it's easy to say you believe on Christ, but do you really? I can tell you this, I think you would agree with me. If you want to say amen real loud, I won't be offended. I know he paid for all my sins. You couldn't talk me out of that. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, one thing I do know is this. He will not say, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Do you know you're saved? That's pretty good. That goes a long ways. Now, you trust him with your eternity, can you trust him with next week? Amen? You trust him with eternal provision, can you trust him with the bills you have right now? You see, the world doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I went by a place I used to work at this week and was asking this fellow what happened to some of the folks that worked there. And, well, one fellow moved off to California and another fellow went here. And they have no stability, really, because they have no God. They have nothing to trust in but themselves. And they've already seen that they're not a very good provider for themselves. God's a good provider. He says, the world doesn't believe on me, and that they will be reproved for that. And by the way, the word reproved just means to be declared guilty or to be blamed or to be charged with fault. He says, they will be reproved of righteousness. I want to make sure I get all these in here. He says, because I go to my Father and ye shall see me no more. Verse 10. The Lord Jesus Christ went into eternity. Why did all that happen? I know it was God's plan, but what happened? They rejected him and they crucified him. And that's the way the world treated him. And that's where our righteousness came from. Folks, there's no other source of righteousness except the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we saw that Jehovah appellative, the Lord our righteousness, this morning in Sunday school. If you're righteous, it's not because of what you did, it's because of what he did. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to be good enough to get to heaven. Well, you're on the right track already. The Bible says in Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The fact that you know that you can't save yourself, that's a big step. Because the Bible says this, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness. Rahab the harlot believed, and that's the reason she was saved. My righteousness is based on my faith and the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and his blood cleansed me from my sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever shall clean his life up and be perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. The world does not have that righteousness. And then finally, in verse 11, the world will be reproved, and judgment is what they will ultimately see. And here's a little piece of good news here that will keep you from falling. Satan is already defeated. He says it right there in verse 11. The prince of this world is judged. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I just use the phrase, that sealed the deal. There's nothing that can take your salvation away from you. Some people think they can lose their salvation. If the Lord Jesus Christ gave you eternal life and then took it away, it wasn't very eternal, was it? And if you have to work to stay saved, you're saved by works. But my Bible says not by works, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ has already won the victory. The world is defeated. The Satan is defeated. And it's just a matter of time, folks, until all that becomes very clear. First thing we see, Jesus knew what we were going to go through. The second thing is, he's with us. He did not leave us. Now go to verse 12. Let's look at one more and we'll finish up here. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's the same thing my chemistry class said last year. It's too much material. I'm getting to teach Bible this year. Amen. I've taught physics. I've taught algebra. Imagine a pastor teaching Bible. This could be dangerous. You know what book we're going to be in? Guess. The Revelation. Wow. And we're going to learn. Going to start out with the seven churches of the Revelation. And anyway, you know, the Lord knows what we can take, and the Holy Spirit knows what we can take. And when I joined the Army, I can still remember the very first day, somebody teaching me how to stand at attention. Now, that seems like the simplest thing now, but back then, should I explain attention to the Air Force guys? Do they ever do that? I don't know if, did you guys ever know, Mark, attention? Never mind, he's... But they taught me some basics, right? They taught me how to do a left face. They taught me how to march. They taught me how to hold a rifle. They taught me how to shoot a machine gun. We were talking about that before church today and with someone that had that experience as well. You learn a little and you learn a little more. You learn a little more. You learn a little more. And before you know it, you learn a lot. Folks, that's the way the Lord deals with you. Amen? I got young people here that I dearly care for. And they are a blessing. They don't know it, but they're my primary excuse to go to Sonic. Because my wife would never let me go there, but if I take a teen, I'm okay. And so we went to Sonic, didn't we, Isaiah? And anyway, these young people, they may not know a whole lot, but God's not done teaching them yet. You say, Pastor, how is someone young like that going to make it all the way through life and all the trials and all the obstacles and the people that are going to try to offend them and the things they're going to face? Because God will lead them one day at a time, just like he does you and I. Does it ever amaze you that you made it this far? I've seen so many people drop out and stop going to church and stop serving God and stop being faithful. And I know this, if it wasn't for God, I'd be among them. But folks, he can. And in fact, look what he says to us here. We'll be done. Verse 13. It says, when he, and he describes the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself, I'm sorry. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There's a whole lot in that verse. But one thing I can tell you is this. God is not hiding from you. God would like to lead you. You ever commit a sin? I know the answer to this question before I ask it. And then after you've done it, you get convicted about it and you ask God to forgive you. You know who's doing that? The Holy Spirit. You ever go to a store and you get ready to leave and something says, give them a tract? You know who that is? It's the Holy Spirit. Oh, it gets better than that. You're trying to make a decision in life. Who should I marry? What kind of job should I get? Where should I go to school? You name it. These young people here, we talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Someone says, I think I'd like to join the military. Someone else says, I think I'd like to go to college. I thought a lot of things when I was younger. I'm glad God took care of some things I didn't know and put me in the place where I ought to be, sometimes in spite of myself. Folks, God can do that. You see, what it comes back to is where I started. It is not God's will that we should quit, that we should be offended, that we should fall, that we should stumble, that we should stop serving Him. That is not God's will. And don't forget Jude. He says very plainly in verse 23, He is able to keep you from falling. Now think about my illustration. We're driving across this plain, 6 foot high grass. Cannot see what's in front of us. Full speed ahead. As fast as you can drive a Jeep, that's pretty fast. And there's a ditch out there. Big one. I don't know, 15, 20 feet wide, 10 feet deep. We didn't see it. In your life, if you're running along in life and you think you got everything under control, I want you to know something. There's ditches out there. And God knows where they are. And if you'll let Him lead you, He'll protect you and keep you safe. Does that mean you'll never have any trials? No. But it means He can keep you from falling. He finishes up, and we're out of time, but look at the very last couple of verses here. He talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says, He shall glorify me. Now, we don't have time for this, but I'll just mention it to you. If you go to a church that's all about the Holy Spirit and not about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong church. Because the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all for the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit points me back to the Lord Jesus Christ and says He's the one that gets the glory. In fact, what the Holy Spirit says to us comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. What the Holy Spirit does in our life comes from Christ. The disciples were about to be in a situation that we're familiar with, although they had seen one we don't know. They had been with Jesus, but now He's about to go into eternity, into heaven for a while. And now they're going to be in the same place that we're in, where He's not with us physically, but He's with us. And He can keep us from falling. Would you agree with me? It's a dangerous world. Scares me to death. These young people tell me what they see in schools and in the neighborhood, and I'm shocked. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Seems like a recurring theme lately. We talk a lot about this, but I want to encourage you one more time. Don't quit. If you're walking with God because of who He is, you can keep on walking with Him. What about people? Well, I'll tell you this. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to attack you. Some of them are going to try to kill you in this situation. But I do not walk with God because of people. I walk with God because of who He is. And He knows what I'm about to face, and He's prepared me for it. And He's going to assure that the Comforter goes with me and leads me and guides me through the obstacles in life so we can step into eternity and we can hear what we often talk about, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But when you stand before the Lord one day, when you're standing there, if there's a moment of silence, I hope you're not going to be worried that the Lord's angry with you because you quit, because you stopped giving Him your best, because you got distracted and let the world get a hold of you. That need not be, amen? And if you're here today and you feel like that might be happening to you or it might have happened to you, I've got good news for you. The Lord still loves you. He wants you to come back. Amen? If you're here today and you never have trusted Christ as your Savior, let me make that real, real, real clear. If I was to ask you, are you sure, 100% sure, that when you step into eternity, when you die, when you leave this world, that you're going to be with the Lord for all eternity, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, can you say, Pastor, I'm sure about that? If you have any doubts, you need to take care of that today. Because what you're saying is, I'm not sure, I won't go to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. Today, you could be sure. We'd like to take a Bible and show you how. We have a room over here and over here that we privately, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, can sit down with you and take a Bible and show you. You can be as sure as Mr. Mendez that you're saved. You're pretty sure, amen? Don't leave this place if you don't know that. Let's all stand and pray.